In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Suffering, persecutions, and death, the message may come across somehow a little confusing and maybe even non-realistic. Although sufferings, persecutions, and death are to be tolerated as an element of faith in our Lord God Jesus Christ in this most wicked and twisted world, it is by no means justified in its essence. We are not to entice suffering and persecutions. We are not to provoke them. Let's look at suffering and persecution. I pose you to this question. Do you think that God had in his plans, in his perfect, kind, loving, holy will, and in his perfect purpose, the idea and prospect of pain and suffering and persecution when he created all things visible and invisible? Do you think? Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 doesn't indicate that. We read, and God, creator of heaven and earth, and all that we see and don't see, tangible and non-tangible, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good and pleasing. Good according to the standards of our perfect God, and pleasing in the eyes of God. Do you think in the goodness and pleasure of God, there was an element, an intention of suffering and persecutions for his creation? Wasn't God's act of creation, an act of love in the first place, that in his power and wisdom, he created the universe and all that is in there to share that love with us and with his creation? After all, in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, chapter 6, verse 13, it is said that love rejoices not in evil, and yet suffering and persecutions are evil. So suffering and persecutions are not to be justified, though tolerated, persevered, and accepted joyfully for Christ's sake. Some people question that as well. Why? Why does Christ want me to suffer? And why does Christ want me to be persecuted? Well, it wasn't Christ that in the first place wanted you to suffer and be persecuted. To answer your question, let me give you this equation from where it all began. Once upon a real time, there was man who was created by God, disobeyed the God that created him, and this was sin against the God that created him. And that sin brought curse in the eyes of God that created him. And from that point, suffering and persecution were born. So suffering and persecutions are a product of the fall, a consequence of human disobedience, which is sin against God the Creator. Suffering and persecutions are not to be justified, as I said, though tolerated and accepted and persevered joyfully for Christ's sakes. Why? Because Christ suffered so that our suffering will not be in vain. So we dropped the ball in the first place. Our race, our kind dropped the ball in the first place. Through that, suffering and persecutions and death, but we're talking about sufferings and persecutions, we'll cover death soon, were introduced, were born. Christ then, this is the glory, the love, the grace and mercy of Jesus our Lord God, which you'll find in no other person living on the face of this earth. No other religious leader living on the face of this earth, beloved. They did not suffer for mankind. And even if they did, it was to no avail. It was invalid. It didn't bring you and I any grace, any mercy, any fruits. Christ suffered so that our suffering will not be in vain. That's why, excuse me, the suffering and persecutions that we introduced in the world because of our disobedience, we need to tolerate and accept and persevere joyfully, is because Christ, through his suffering, made our suffering not to be in vain. In his first letter, St. Peter, Simon the Rock, writes, chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, "For it is profitable to you, not for God, not for Jesus, whether we suffer or not, Christ is glorified. God is almighty. Praise be to his name. For it is profitable to you that you suffer evil while you do good deeds, not suffering because you provoke, you enticed, and you brought it upon yourself because of evil and sin. No, suffering while you do good deeds. If this should be the pleasure of God." So if God allows you to suffer and to be persecuted, not because it was in his plan, but because of your free will, our free will, the free will of mankind, suffering and persecutions entered. I have to continue to reiterate, because we point the finger at God, point it back to yourself. There's three fingers pointing at yourself. So now that suffering and persecutions are in the world, and God, through his pleasure, allows you to go through those sufferings and persecutions, it's because it will not be in vain, because Christ suffered for us. When we do good, that is, by the way, and not while you do evil deeds. For the Messiah also once died for our sins, the righteous for sinners, that he might bring you to God, and he died in body but lived in spirit. So our sufferings and persecutions caused by our free will to disobey God are fruitful for you and I, beloved. That's why we need to tolerate and persevere, but not justify and say, it's okay, God gave us suffering. You know, we say in Assyrian, this is the fourth time I'm mentioning this. I've mentioned it in a funeral sermon and what have you. We say, Allah yuwala marra yuwala darde. God has given us illness and sicknesses, and he also has given us the remedies. God did not give illness and sicknesses. No, we did. We brought it upon ourselves. But God was there to grant us the remedies, beloved. It was because of our disobedience. So let's not be lax and complacent when it comes to suffering and persecutions. In actual fact, we need to do one thing, that is, learn from it a very important lesson, and that is the severity, the danger, and destruction of sin, that is, disobedience to God. Our God is not the cause, nor did he bring to effect, nor was he the playwright of sickness, diseases, and sufferings, and persecutions in general, but rather the provider of remedies. Praise be to his name. So as we don't wish sufferings and persecutions and pain upon others, so too we don't pray for suffering and pain and persecutions for ourselves. We pray, and the Lord taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. Not, please allow us to go through persecutions. Oh, please, I want to provoke and entice persecution upon myself so that it is profitable, so that it is not in vain. No, no. We don't ask for that. Jesus has taught us to deliver us from sin. You see, let me give you an example. I have a dog, Thor. I call him Tora, which is equivalent to the Assyrian Thor. Now, when he goes out in the backyard, when he's let outside, he has this territorial issue. I think the message he gives is, when I'm outside, no other neighbors are to come out in the backyards. Because he'll start barking and barking, and that's what dogs do, right? But he goes on, I don't like that. So that's his nature. Now someone said, oh, he's being protective because he wants to protect you. Bro, as they say, I'm not outside. I'm in the house. I'm being protected by my house. He just likes barking, okay? That's his nature. That dogs bark. I've never heard of a dog meow. I've never heard of a dog chirp. But there are times when I approach Larissa, my daughter, pretending that I want to strike her, he'll bark. And then I say, shh. My wife will say, well, you provoked him to do it. Don't do that. You know, she says it in love. You know that he barks. So what are you doing that? So it's the same. Let's not provoke, entice, and wish suffering and persecution upon ourselves. No. But when they do come in this wicked world, they are bound to come. We must tolerate and accept and receive them. It's like conceding and saying, well, it's my fault. It's my race's fault. Now, as for death, God didn't create us and breathed the breath of life in our nostrils so that he would one day put us to death. That would be first degree murder, wouldn't it? Premeditated, right? Well, God didn't do that. Praise his name. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, as by means of one man, sin, which is an extension of disobedience to God, sin entered into the world, and by means of sin, death, we brought death into the world. And so death passed upon all the sons of men, inasmuch as they all have sinned. We don't wish death upon ourselves. Yes, we confidently and, being encouraged of the resurrection, we say, oh, I wish I could go now and be with my Lord. But just by saying that, beloved, we are not saying that death is justified. No, it was not an act of God. It was the misuse of the free will of man that brought sin, and sin brought death into the world. But we tolerate it, we accept it, we persevere it, and we'll talk about that. Why? So, who then is the murderer, beloved? Now, the crime is sin, but who enticed the sin and became an accessory? It was Satan. So it's the doing of Satan, and also the dropping of the ball, the letting down the guard of mankind that sin entered, through sin, sufferings, persecutions, and death. Jesus says to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the liar, and the lust of your father you are disposed to do. He was from the beginning a manslaughterer, and abode not in the truth, for the truth is not in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's talking about Satan. How can God, beloved, who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he would return from his evil way and he will live, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, be blamed for murder and wants us to justify death? That's what we imply ignorantly when we state that God caused death, suffering, and persecution. Henceforth, that's why we have to pray it upon us and provoke it so that it may come on upon us. For example, suffering. You can't go to a place, you go somewhere with the intention that I'm going to go there so that I can suffer, so that I can experience suffering. No. You cannot put yourself into situations where you will be persecuted. It's my will that I go to this place to be persecuted. No. You cannot take on your own life. Suicide. You can't do that. Because, oh, death is great. I'm going to go to God. No. But we accept those. We tolerate them. And we persevere in them, beloved. Beloved, death is a thief. An enemy, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Actually, the last enemy which will be abolished. Can we at any time justify a thief, pronouned he or she? We may be affected. We may suffer. We may be inconvenienced by his or her theft. However, we cannot justify his or her deeds, can we? We're affected by it because theft is destructive. But as with a thief, and this is why we need to tolerate, as with a thief and his or her theft, we are protected by one thing, our insurance policy, right? To be compensated or have our property reinstated. So too, beloved, with suffering and persecutions, we are assured, this is our insurance policy from Christ himself, we are assured comfort and healing by Christ's promises and the scriptural relief and Christ's suffering itself. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus is inviting you, stop cooking, stop vacuuming, give all, get off the keyboard, pull to one side and listen to this. Please listen to this. Don't just shake your head and maybe even praise God. Listen to this. This is an invitation. Come unto me, all of you who labor and are forced to bear burdens, and I shall give you rest. Where did labor and burdens come from? It was the produce of the disobedience of man, our disobedience. And yet God is extending this invitation. Come to me. In the second epistle of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 12, we read, "And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we renounce him, he will also renounce us." That's why we tolerate, we accept and we persevere, because the suffering that we brought upon ourselves and Christ paid the debt, that suffering that we are permitted to go through now, look at what it ends up in, reigning with Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. Now, as for death, we have the insurance, the assurance, the promise of the resurrection from the dead. We have the participation in the resurrection of Christ. We are candidates of the resurrection of Christ from the time of our rebirth in the waters of baptism. That's why we tolerate, but we do not provoke and entice suffering and persecution and death upon ourselves. But we tolerate according to God's perfect plan, perfect will, when he allows us to go through that. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, we read, "For we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that as Jesus the Messiah arose from the dead into the glory of his Father, so also we to walk in a new life. For if we have been planted together with him into the likeness of his death, so shall we also into his resurrection be." In John chapter 6, verse 40, when Jesus is talking about himself being the bread of life, that bread we celebrate Christ with every time we break it at the altar. Yes, the Qurbana Qadisha, the Holy Eucharist. Look at what Jesus is saying. For this is the will of my Father. Everyone who sees the Son and trusts in him shall have eternal life, and I shall raise him in the last day. Resurrection. This is a promise of resurrection. So you see, beloved, we are not called to justify, to provoke, to entice, and okay suffering and persecution and death, which were not good and pleasing to God when creating the world. But because of the fallen and corrupted state of man, we are now tolerant, accepting, and persevering. Why? Because of the remedies and promises of the Christ. Yes, the Christ, the Son of the one true God, to him be glory, honor, thanksgiving, and worship, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.